Does anybody have a testimony of who God is and what he is and what he's been doing lately before I get running? Allison, the microphone.
Good morning. As everybody knows, I had colon cancer a year ago. Friday, I went for my one-year checkup. They did a complete physical, colonoscopy, everything, and I am cancer-free still, and everything is great.
Amen.
He said he doesn't want to see me back for 3 years, so praise God. It's all God.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? That's a great testimony.
Yes,
Esther. Give the mic to Esther there.
It's funny what I'm going to say, but I think I got to say it.
Say it. Say it, girl. Come on now.
He's been dealing with my issues.
Amen.
So I'm very thankful that he's dealing with some issues that I just, I guess I didn't want to let go of, to be honest. And I think that because of, you know, me going, okay, I guess.
Right.
Letting go of them easily. I mean, not really easily, but you know what I mean. I'm very thankful for that because I know that greater will come because, you know, when we're obedient. So I just thank God for where he has me. I thank God that I'm at this church. I thank
Amen.
God for my pastors. And
Amen.
I thank God that you know, he allows me to serve him. I'm just
Amen.
Very, very thankful
Amen.
And I'm blessed because he is very faithful, especially because I'm not.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. Well, we're going to, well, that leads me, that's a perfect setup. And I've had so many great men of God set me up. I've listened to Ray Silva's messages in Acts. I've listened to Brian, you know, set me up here in the book of Acts. And then I've listened to Donovan. So a lot of times I can't get here, but I'm always jumping on. I thank God for women like Sarah that run our media department that can put stuff on the internet so I can get a hold of it and we can grab a hold of it. So, and I urge people, if you can't get to these meetings or get to church one Sunday because you're working or whatnot, jump online, get it, because, you know, this word is so much fuel for our soul. And we have men and God and women, we have men and women of God that labor over this word, and God gives them that word, and it's so powerful to be able to receive that during the week. And how many of us know that we can get some crazy weeks where we need just something positive? Sometimes you've had those weeks where it's just like a simple, hey, how are you doing, feels good. Let alone a word from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
I give you a short story before I get going here. You know I can't leave you without a story. let me give you my title before I give you the story. The title of my message today is Trapped in the Thought of Him Who Knows Me. Trapped in the thought of Him Who Knows Me. And I'm going to be working out of the book of Acts 14. Acts 14. So if you guys want to turn there, this is a Bible study. This is your good morning Bible study. So we are going to go there. But just talking about things that happen unexpectedly. I was at work the other day, and I grabbed me a coffee, and I had a gift card to Starbucks. I don't generally go there, but I do like to go there, if you ask my wife. And but their stuff's so expensive, that's why I don't go there. And I had me a nice expensive coffee. You know, it wasn't even coffee. It's like one of those sweet names or something. It's a white chocolate mocha latte or something like that. So I have this thing. Yeah, fufu drink. And I have it, and I'm like, well, I haven't checked in on some of my spots in a while. So I'm going to go and check on some of my locations in the downtown area. And as I'm going into this 400 Monroe building, which has like Detroit versus everybody there, they have a sports store in there. They have the taxes. A lot of you guys, when you hear 400 Monroe, you're like, oh, that's where you got to pay the taxes. Because I don't care who you are. Everybody's been down there at least once, registered deeds office somewhere. So I go into this building, and as I got my fufu drink, and as my mind is set upon doing what? Just going in, you know, like Pastor Don, have your coffee. Hey, so how's things going? You're not thinking of calisthenics at all. You're not thinking of doing anything physical. You're going to sip on that coffee, let it work its way through you. And then as you're in the process, You're going to be talking to people, right?
Right?
That's where I'm at. That's where my mind's at. As I walk through there, all of a sudden, as I'm walking in the door, in the door jam itself, a guy pushes past me, and the owner of the sports store goes, "Officer Shank, stop that guy." Now, immediately, my brain goes to what? My coffee, right? I'm going to have to drop my... I know some of the saints of God in here would love to think that Officer Shank doesn't think like that, that he just is a man after God's own heart and he puts his job first and he's just going to do what he's got to do when he's got to do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, saints, because I'm in with people who love me, I thought, my God, I'm going to have to drop my coffee. Because I don't think I'm as good as some other officers that might be able to run with the coffee still in hand. And all the video that they have downtown now, it'd probably be embarrassing. Detroit police officer running and I'm running with a coffee in my hand. So I don't drop it. So I had to drop my coffee. I run after this guy. We run through a bunch of vehicles. He gets to a place where he should be basically trapped by the Buffalo Wild Wings. It's a black rotted gate and he should be trapped. And I'm like, yeah, this fool don't know where he's at. He don't know where he's at. I run in there, and then guess what? They had pushed all the snow up to the gate. So he was able to just use it like a mountain when you were kids. He just jumped over there, jumped over the gate. But when he jumped over, I'm like, oh, man. Well, then I'm going to jump over the gate, right? I ain't no punk. I'm going to go. So I jumped over the gate, and when I jumped over the gate and landed, there was the jerseys, and he was gone. So I grabbed the jerseys because one of the things that I've learned as a seasoned officer with 17 years in the job is that you don't ever leave the merchandise. I remember a rookie mistake I made one time is I chased a guy who jumped out of a stolen car. Guess what happened? Instead of me securing the car,
somebody else stole it.
Someone else jumped in that car. And then your sergeant or lieutenant's looking at you like, what were you really doing? We don't have a car. We don't have nothing. We don't have a guy in custody. We have nothing. So immediately I grab up the jerseys and I run to the corner and I look and I can't see which way he went. So I walk back to the store. But it ended up being a good thing because it was $920-something in retail sale. I'm like, what, man, whose jerseys are these? They're Steve Yzerman jerseys. Official Steve Yzerman jersey. I'm like, this guy doesn't even play anymore, does he? They still sell those old school jerseys. I'm not a hockey fan. For those of you listening via internet, I am not a hockey fan. I apologize in advance. I'm just honored that my pastors have me up here today. But, Ed?
I just want to know if he bought you a coffee.
That's what I was going to ask.
He did not buy me a coffee. However, Allison knows as well as some people in the room that they've always taken care of me whenever I need anything. So, you take care of those that take care of you, right? And sometimes we're called to take care of those that don't take care of us, right? That's even a little harder. Well, let's start going just to get your mindset in where God might want it to be. You know, because like I said, we don't always have ours where we think it should be. Amen. Sometimes things happen in our lives where we're thrown off a little bit. But make no mistake about it, God knows who he's called each and every one of us to be. Amen. And I look at this story with Paul, and we're going to hit it real quick. We're going to hit this verse. We're going to walk it all the way through, and then I'm going to come out with some points. And then next week, I'm going to start a point two, and we're going to finish out. Sound good?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Acts 14, starting at verse 1. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Let's stop there. So we got two figures. Who are they?
Paul
and Barnabas. And they're going somewhere it says that they usually go to, right? And it says that they spoke effectively, that a great number of Jews believed. So they go somewhere where they normally go, they spoke effectively, and people began to believe in who Jesus was, who the Messiah was. Verse 3 says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there. But this is what I wanted to touch on. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. In verse 3, with most of us, because how many people like confrontation besides Pastor Don? I didn't even know to look your way. Or Sammy. Sammy's like Pastor Don Jr. sometimes. Verse 3, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time. That second sentence caught my attention because it says that they poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas, instead of running, they spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed their message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and the Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to, like, how do you say this? Let me see. Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe. I got it printed out, like, and to the surrounding country where they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra, there sat a man. So, real quick, they came against opposition, right? And it said that they did what? Stayed longer. And one of the things God spoke to me, if you know who your God is, you stand on who he is. And how many of us ever had to stand on who God is when it comes to our own situations? Right? Things are not going well. The opposition feels like it's just on you. And some of us might be crying out, God, take me out of this situation. And it just, right away it says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there. To me, I'm like, man, that would have been my cue. All right, well, if they don't want to listen, then I don't have to be here. How many have ever said that? Some of us know that there's times when we must do that, right?
Yes, sir.
But in this moment, these men knew who God had called them to be. They knew who their God was and what they were supposed to do. And they stayed there. And then they find out about this plot to stone them. And I thought the next verse might say, so they stayed even longer, but they were smart at that time. They said, all right, let's get out of here. But here we go. The opposition they faced, I believe it prepared them for the next encounter. How many of us know that some of the things we've been through in life, has it ever happened where you've been through something and then after you've been through it, all of a sudden you find yourself using it for somebody else's life? All the time, right? I know for me, sometimes the things that have happened in me and Allison's life or just in my police profession, I've had to pull out, and even when I didn't want to pull it out. Like, they don't need to know this. Hold on, how can I talk to them about this without having to bring that garbage up? And the Lord says, no, you went through something because it's for now. And the only way this person is sitting in front of you, across from you, is going to understand is because they're going to hear your story and they're going to be set free. Amen. Right? Amen. In verse 8, it says, in Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been there that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in Lycaonian. I think I got that right. That word's going to tear me up all day. They shouted in Lycaonian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes. Because he was the chief speaker, the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bowls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd, say crowd, wanted to offer sacrifice to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go on their own way, yet he has not left them without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain. I'm going to skip down verse 18. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. It sounds like this crowd is pumped up about some Paul and Barnabas, right? And I believe that sometimes we can get fall into a trap in today's society, especially with all of the glitz and the glamour of Christianity today. Back then, these guys were like on the run. Everywhere they went, they battled something. And today, we got television evangelists on TV. And we got people, bookstores you can go into, where you can find out who God is, and sometimes you can find it even more than that. Some books I don't believe God even's in. Have you ever read a book you thought it was good and you get halfway in it and you're like, man, God ain't even in this book. It said something about God on the front. What God was that? So, you know, here they are. They're in this place, and it says the crowd was just on their side, loving them, right? And Paul and Barnabas had to rebuke them and say, no, it's not us that we do anything through. How many of us know that it's Christ and Christ alone in us that we're able to do anything, right? The only reason that we haven't failed in our marriages yet is because Christ is in it. The reason that we started to fall is because he became a mute point at some times. The reason we yell at that person that we know we shouldn't yell at is because Christ has somewhat been removed from the equation. And I've talked about this before. When we get mad, sometimes we just like to be mad, right? Don't put that Christian music in. I just want to be mad. Right? Right? Any of you guys ever did that? My wife's mad. I'm going to put this music on and see if it's going to calm her down. Turn it off. Turn it off. Or you just don't want to hear it. I'm not calling this brother in the Lord or this sister in the Lord because I don't want to hear it. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing in my life, and I just want to be where I'm at right now. I know none of you guys' first cousins of Jesus ever thought like that, but I know I have. I've been there. Listen to what this crowd does. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. I wonder how easy that was. They stoned Paul. And I read this, I'm like, wait a minute. You were just ready to sacrifice to this guy. Right? And how the tide had turned. Now they're stoning the poor guy. They stoned Paul, dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. So they stoned the guy to, in their minds, death. And then it said, what's it say here next?
19.
Verse 19. 20. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. So I try to picture this in my mind. It's like a possum, you know? Like, was he playing possum? Did he get hit? I tell you a story one time with Uncle Eddie. I was a kid. And some of you guys just continue to pray for me because it still haunts me. But, you know, like I said, some of the times you go through these bad encounters. You got to just get them out. This is one of these things that helped me get them out. But when I was a child, I remember all my cousins, we were all standing. It was Halloween, and we were all upstairs playing and talking. I had like a cowboy outfit on. I had my little six shooter on me and, you know, the little plastic dollar store thing, hook up, had my little badge. And my cousins were all dressed up, and they're like, hey, there's somebody downstairs. Grandpa's calling you. My grandpa's a clown, and he's on the porch, and he's like, Grandpa's down there. He's a clown, you know. So we start walking down the steps, and we're all sitting there talking to my grandpa, and then all of a sudden this crazy beast, devil, comes out with claws on and a furry face, and this thing just looked so real to me. I'm a child, right? I'm a child. But anyhow, this thing comes out of nowhere and starts climbing up towards me, and I look, and I got all my cousins. We all see it. We start running up the stairs, and they like push me down. I mean, I've always been a scrawny guy. So I get pushed to the ground, and I glance over down at the steps, and I'm like, I'm not going to make it. It's got me. And so I fall to the ground. I'm not joking. This is a true story. I got people that will testify to it. But I fall to the ground, And I'm just laying there, and I'm sitting there, a child, okay, a child. And I'm laying there, and I'm just sitting so still, like, he'll leave. He'll leave. And I'm shaking. I'm shaking in terror, right? And I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden you hear, this thing starts to breathe so heavy upon me that it's getting me so nervous. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm shaking even harder. And basically, I look up, and I have to open my eyes at this point because it's breathing. It's like on me. Is it going to eat me? What's it going to do? And all of a sudden, I look, and it's like, arr! And I run into the room, and I'm sitting there next to my brother. I'm sitting there next to my cousins. My little brother, he's crying. And I look over, he's peed his pants. I'm like, my God, this guy got my kid peeing his pants. But anyways, the laying on the ground dead thing did not work. For those of you that are interested in pulling out that technique, I'm not sure if the Apostle Paul did it here. However, I mean, the brother was stoned. And I just thought to myself that we live in a society where if you listen to the opinions of others around you, you're not doing what God's called you to do. Because most of the time, it's the exact thing. You're going to battle opposition. And we have to watch and say, is the trap of who we are in this world facilitated by the opinions of other people? Do we do things in our lives today because of the people around us? Are we being orchestrated by the people around us? Do we hold back because of the people around us? Do we hold back from the things of God because of our environments? I remember one time talking to Michelle, and me and we were talking about her going to work and how it was something simple. You like said you brought in donuts or something to the team that you were working with, and how it just spurred the conversation because the Christ in her is a give. God's a giver, right? So she goes there and just wants to bless people, and it just stirred the relationships around, and it changed the whole environment by just giving, which is something that Christ asked us to do. So sometimes the things within inside of us, it could. Now we can say, well, it's business, and we just don't do stuff like here in the office, or we don't talk that way in the office, and we don't do this because I don't want to be fired. But I believe God is calling for a generation of people to not be swayed by the opinions of other people. See, Paul and Barnabas weren't satisfied by the fact that some people started beginning to sacrifice to them. They exactly went to, no, you're my God. Listen who the God is who brought us, right? Because they didn't want to get so boastful within themselves. And we know people who've done that, right, Nicodemus? And what happened to that guy? Say it, somebody. What happened? What happened? Does anybody know? When he took it upon himself to say, look at what I have made? Anybody remember that? Nebuchadnezzar. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He ended up eating grass in the field, just lost his mind, right? So the next day, it didn't say that he packed up and left, but after the disciples had gathered around Paul, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. So the thing for me is he went back. He went back because he knew who God had called him to be. And some of us, how many of us ever felt like running? Just running. I mean, man, I've never been stoned before, but I know that my heart's been hurt. I know that sometimes it's been crushed. I know at times your heart feels like it's been pulled out of your chest. We've all went through those things. And then you say to yourself, how can I go back? Has anybody asked yourself that question? At a moment in your life that where something bad or tragic has happened and you say, how do I go back? Verse 21, they preached the gospel in the city and won a large number of disciples. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. But Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. One of the things, I'm going to stop. Didn't we have in verse, was it 5? There was a plot, verse 5, there was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews there with the leaders to mistreat them and stone them, but they found out about it. Here we go in verse 19, they stoned Paul and dragged him out. One of the things the Lord showed me is, where was the heads up the second time around? The first time we hear, he got the heads up. He heard that they would stone him, so he was able to what? Leave, protect himself. But the second time around, it says he just got stoned from a crowd who was in love with him at that time. And we just had a death, and a death basically in the family. I feel like these people were family to us. I've known them my whole life. Feels like the majority of my life. And, you know, it was a woman who died so unexpectedly. So unexpectedly. No signs were given that this would happen. It wasn't like she went through a doctor's office and they were telling her this and this and this and this. Take these medications, do this, this, and this. And all of a sudden she passed. She just passed. Way before her time and most people's responses would be. Right? And I go to work after hearing this news. And I see this guy, his name's Cordell. Cordell, I told you I'd mention, you better be on the website right now listening to this. But Cordell, he runs the parking structures downtown. He's in charge of like 6 or 7 different parking structures, including CompuWare. And I was walking past him, and I said, I haven't seen you in a while. And he goes, oh, man. And he goes, and I've always kind of, I'm like Brian and that, working on him kind of every so often about getting into church. He goes, I go to church, you know, every now and then, but, you know, I normally just watch a TV evangelist, and that's about it. And I was telling him how the fellowship of the brethren is so important and the accountability is so important. And, well, here he is. He goes, hey, Shane, you got a minute? I'm going to tell you where I've been. I said, what's that? He said, I had the flu, or what I thought was the flu. I went into the hospital, and they gave me, a Z-Pak or some type of, Tamiflu, and tried to restore him back. It wasn't working. So his wife goes, you know how our wives are. Our wives know better than we are. No, it'll be okay. It just takes me longer than it takes you. And she goes, no, something's wrong. You have to go. As any wife told that to their husband, you got to go, right? So some of these women in here need to say amen. Right. So anyhow, what his wife makes him go back. So he goes back and they say, let's run some tests. Well, when they ran some tests, they found out that his kidneys were leaking into his bloodstream. That he actually had deadly toxins leaking within his bloodstream, and it only was a matter of time. And he goes, so hold on. And he's looking at me. He goes, Shank, I just looked at her, and I said, hold on. What does this mean? Do I got to be admitted? What are you talking about? Like, no, sir, you're definitely admitted now. They rushed him up and started doing some things with his blood and stuff and repairing the kidney. However, they said if he would have fallen asleep that night, he would have never woke up. Well, not knowing what I'm just now hearing about my friend that passed, what do you think happened to me? See, some of you guys think I'm so saintly, but I'm not. I said, why did he get told? Why did he get a sign? Why did he get a chance to figure it out? And someone that I cared about didn't. Not that I didn't care about Cordell, but then things happen in our lives sometimes and you say, well, why did they get a chance to figure it out? And no, the lady said that he would have died if he went to sleep. Well, you know what? My friend just the other day died and she didn't get another chance to take her mourning, to see her daughter get married. The one to see her graduate. And the Lord began to just do a work within my heart and say, here you got a family who, the two children that love their mother to death, one that got a chance to see, the mother got the chance to see the kid graduate from college and get engaged, and then the other kid is a junior, and she's saying probably to herself, well, one of the days, mom's going to be there for me, and she's going to throw me a party, and I'm going to have a graduation, just like my older sister. And that doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. Because God had a different plan. And God dealt with me in that moment and said, again, Steve, your ways are not my ways. And we say it so easily sometimes. We let it roll off our tongue. For those of us that have been in the church for a while, you hear the scriptures. Well, it falls on the just and the unjust and all that. You use all these scriptures to help you understand or try to get a grip of who God is in your life. And God continues to show me and says, just desire to know my plans because I know your beginning and I knew your end. Just like I knew your friends who passed, Yvonne, I knew her beginning and I also knew her end. And it reminded me how life is so fragile. Fragile. It is so fragile. And we go through our lives and we have all these plans, but sometimes those plans are not in God's plans. But what do we end up, what do we have to do? We have to be like Paul and say, no matter what. It didn't say Paul ran back and said, this stoning business, what, they're going to stone me? I'm not going to no more cities. Actually, what I need to do is bunker down and find a secure place where of just with a few friends that know me, and I'm going to be okay because I'm going to stop talking about this Jesus guy because what was it that made me get in trouble? It's this Jesus guy. So I identified it, and I'm not going to do it no more. What'd he do? He said, I'm going to still do and run after the call of God upon my life. And I believe my friend would say, Steve, still run after the call that you got on your life. I believe God is telling us, know who I am. Know the purpose for your life this morning. When we go downstairs today, you have a chance or opportunity to lift your hands before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because if you come here for anything else, then you might as well go out the door right now. Because we've come for one purpose, and it's to serve our God, to praise Him with all of our heart's desires. Amen?
Amen.
And I got a video that I want to show. Ed, why don't you go ahead and start that up? And it just, the song spoke to me. Listen to the words. Please listen to the words in it. Because today my message, before I can get to, I got an A and a B plan for this these next couple weeks. This is A, and it's understanding who God called us to be. And no matter what you're going through, He knows you. He knows you. It's an individual thing. Take your husband out the equation. Take your kids out of the equation. Your wife out of the equation. Your family. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're struggling with. And he's asking you today to make a decision to say, I just want to know you. If you know me, then I just desire to know you and know your plan.
Thank you. know me, oh, 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 you know me, oh, 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 oh. You have been
Let's just close in prayer with that. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you do know us. You know every facet of our lives, just as you knew Paul's. Lord, you knew that one day he would get away from a stoning. You knew one day he would feel what it was like. Lord, just as everybody in this room is going through something, Lord, I don't ever want us to forget that we serve a God who knows what we're going through. He knows every detail of our lives. Lord, I pray that today as we go downstairs that we put you in your intended position, that you are Lord of Lords, You lord over every emotion, every feeling, every situation. Lord, and I pray right now, Lord God, that our minds would be set upon you to be in your presence, to worship and bow down at your feet. In Jesus' precious name, amen.